الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومضاعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا علي، لن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا رب صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Respected العلماء, beloved brothers, respected elders, I hope the session we have with you will be beneficial and Allah Ta'ala make it one that is accepted by women. But just so that we all pay attention, and I hope people in this area do, at the end I'll ask you a few questions to actually test and see if the people in this area really are paying attention. Do you allow me to do that? There can maybe be some sort of interaction, more than just a lecture that I'm speaking. Maybe you also can then put some input as well. Nevertheless, Allah has blessed us with this beautiful deen. What we have to remember is, deen reached us through Sahaba radiallahu anhu. If it wasn't for them, we would not be Muslims today. If it wasn't for them, the Quran would not have reached us radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And all the Sahaba are great. Every Sahabi has been liberated, has been praised in the Quran, like more than in many verses of the Quran. Some of those verses were recited by Khalisa, which one of us we heard where Allah praises Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is praised in these verses. And then his Sahaba are praised. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ And all those who are with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are praised in the Quran al-Kareem. Imagine how great his Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The Quran speaks of them. Quran speaks of how great their status and their position is. So every Sahabi is great in Allah's sight. And every Sahabi is forgiven by Allah. And every Sahabi was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah chose Abi alayhi wa sallam. Allah chose the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاخْتَارَهُمْ أَصْحَابًا Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Sahaba who has been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But from all the Sahaba, who produced the Sahaba? Who can tell them? The greatest Sahabi, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. The poet says so beautifully, أزكى صلاتي على الهادي وإشرافه تصب منه عشرة صديقهم عمر الفاروق أحزمهم عثمان ثم علي مخلص الكفار سعد سعيد زبير طلحة وأبو عبيدة وابن عوف عاشر العشرة. From all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the greatest is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhum. Second to that is Umar radiallahu anhum. And third in status and in position from all the galaxy of 120,000 Sahaba approximately, third in status is Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhum. And fourth in status from all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the fourth Sahabi who is fourth in status and greatness is Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. So we have discussed before in the previous year Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. But this year we will highlight Ali radiallahu ta'ala. With him, the Sahaba also, that he will be highlighted because he will be the hero in this discussion. Because that is the topic that we have today. Otherwise, he is one of the greatest Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Now, where does Ali come from? His family. Ali radiallahu anhu. He comes from the Banu Hashim. Banu Hashim. Who is Banu Hashim? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family. Who knows the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage? Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abd al-Manaf. You have Hashim, isn't it? Sometimes we say, you know, the Arabs were so backward and they were so astray and they were so evil. Sometimes we mention that. But actually we should remember that they were better than other people in the world. One day, Abbas radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, some people are saying this, that your family is not good. It's just you who is very special. So you like a very special pure tree in a dump. So Allah's Nabi was upset. He got up to the member and he said to Sahaba, who am I? So Sahaba said, you are Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, yes, I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul-Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abdul-Manaf ibn Qusay ibn Kilab ibn Murrah ibn Ka'b ibn Lu'ay ibn Ghalib ibn Fihr ibn Malik ibn Nadab ibn Kinanat ibn Khuzaymah ibn Mudrika ibn Mudar ibn Nizam ibn Ma'ad ibn Adnan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to Adnan, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a pure lineage right to Adam alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What he was explaining to the Sahaba, that yes, I am Allah's Nabi, but my family is also very special. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from all the people in the universe, Allah chose Banu Ismail. The divine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose one was Ismail, the other son who was the Nabi was Ishaq. He was answered, Ishaq alayhi wa sallam. Don't doubt yourself, you know, give the answer. Allah bless you. So Allah chose Ismail alayhi salam offspring from all. From Ismail alayhi salam's children, Allah chose Kilan. He's from the offspring of Ismail alayhi salam. And from Kilan, Allah chose Banu Hashim. And from Banu Hashim, to understand this, as though everyone was put in a sift, and they were sifted out, and the purest were sifted out. And from Banu Hashim, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chosen. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was chosen from the purest of lineages. And he says that from me till Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam, every parent of mine that met on purity in nikah, not on zina. Right till Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam. That's why under the tafsir of the verse of the Quran, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَلِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Such a Nabi has come to you. لِأَنْفُسِكُمْ. He is from you. He is a human like you. He loves you so much, O Ummah. What hurts you is very hard for your Nabi to bear. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَلِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. And he is yearning for your hidayah. He wants guidance for you. He wants goodness for you. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And he is compassionate and merciful in his dealings with the believers. But in this verse, one qira'ah is, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفَسِكُمْ. Such a Nabi Allah has sent, who is the purest of you. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he comes from Banu Hashim. Now, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he also comes from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lives with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Uthman bin Affan bin Umayyah bin Abd Shams bin Abd Manaf. So he lives with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Abd Manaf. Umar radiallahu anhu lives with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Ka'ab. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lives with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Murrah. Now Ali radiallahu anhu, he lives with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as far as family is concerned, very, very close as family. He comes from Banu Hashim. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father was Abdullah. And Abdullah's brother was Abu Talib. So Abu Talib was the son of Bukhatan. Who was Abu Talib's father? Who was Abdullah's father? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father. Bukhatan. See? Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib had 10 sons. But you know the incident of how Allah gave him 10 sons. He was digging by the Kaaba, looking for some sons. And his one son, Ali, was helping him. So he said, Allah, if you give me 10 sons, I'll sacrifice one for you. This was before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously. And then another whose history on his own. But Allah gave him 10 sons. So his one son was Abbas. Another son was Zubayr. Another son was Ghayda. Another son was Hamza. Another son was Abu Talib. Another son was Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab. His other son was Abdullah. Obviously, he had quite a few wives. So Hamza, radiallahu anhu, came from one of his wives. But Abu Talib and Abdullah came from the same man. So Abu Talib and Abdullah were very, very close. That's why when Abu Talib was passing away, the grandfather is passing away, he was taking care of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who did he designate from his children to take care of his grandson, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who did he appoint? What did he say? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will grow up in whose homes?
he must have been arrested. And he came back to live with his mother from the age of 2.5. He lived with his mother right from the age of 6. Mother passed away. Allah took mother away. Father left this world before Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born. His mother passed away, he was 6. Then he went to live with his grandfather. He was 8 when his grandfather left this world. Grandfather says, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will live with Abu Talib. So he grew up from his uncle's home. Abu Talib. Abu Talib is Ali radiallahu anhu's father, isn't it? Abu Talib's wife was Hukka family. Now this is a very sad part of history, because I get very sad when people don't know the wife of Abu Talib. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because Abu Talib, we know he didn't embrace Islam. But his wife, she was among the early Muslims. And she loved Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She treated our beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam like her own child. She loved him. She saw the bucket in this child, the baraka. We say, oh, you better say the baraka in this child. Because baraka is correct, it's Arabic, see? Barakat will be Urdu, baraka will be Arabic. So let me say baraka. She saw the baraka in this child. If he was there in the meal, it was enough for everyone. If Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not there, the food was very different. And in reality, Abu Talib was a very poor man. And if you study history, Allah knows why. But he was a very generous man. Whatever he had, he would give. So nothing would remain. But when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam grew up in his home, there was a lot of baraka in that home. A lot of baraka. Now, Fatima binti Ahmad was her name. Whose name? Abu Talib. Abu Talib had one wife. So most of you here, mashallah, following that way and thinking, am I right? Abu Talib had one wife. But generally Sahaba radiallahu anhu had more. But I'm just talking about Abu Talib at the moment. Now, Abu Talib had his one wife, Fatima. What was her name? Fatima. You can't forget that name, is it? Did you know? Abu Talib's wife's name was Fatima. That was the mother of Ali ibn Abi Talib. What is this? You know, I'm just reading. So Fatima binti Asad. And let me tell you who Fatima binti Asad is. Fatima binti Asad. Remember the name? Asad. Who is Asad? You know the name Hashim, is it? Hashim. Who is Hashim? Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib ibn Hashim. Now Hashim's one son was Abd al-Muttalib. His other son was Muttalib. His other son was Asad. That's how close is Fatima binti Asad to the lineage of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. So actually, if you look at it, Ali radiallahu anhu was from Banu Hashim, from father and from mother. Are you agree? So that was very close in family ties to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, quickly to run through Abu Talib's other children. His eldest son was Talib. Now regarding the history of Abu Talib, we don't know, but there's no document to say he embraced Islam. Probably he didn't embrace Islam, but he left Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He came with the Mushrikeen in Badr, then he left because they defeated him. But then he got lost and he passed away. He had Talib. Next he had Aqil. Aqil was 10 years younger than Talib. After Aqil, Allah gave him another son. 10 years later. I say, it's just interesting about Abu Talib. Allah gave him sons after every 10 year interval. His third son was Ja'far, 10 years later. And his fourth son was Ali, 10 years later. So he was quite old when Ali radiallahu was born. So my old Buddha and Kohl's still have chances, mashallah. My Buddha doesn't know how to Muhammad Sayyidina Rahmatullah Ali. Allah blessed him with a daughter when he was 84 years old. So there's hope, my friends. Now, Ali radiallahu anhu was born after a long time. Then Abu Talib had two daughters as well. Who can tell me his daughter's names? I think if I brought some gifts, then the brother will want some gifts. The Slavachis. I don't know what to call it. Is it called Slavachis or what? I don't know. But maybe. Two daughters. What were his daughters' names? Muhane was one. Fakhita Muhane. And the other daughter was Jumana. But regarding his children, Aqil embraced Islam, Ja'far embraced Islam, Ali ibn Abi Talib was one of the early Muslims. Ali ibn Abi Talib was very fortunate because Abu Talib was poor. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived with him till the age of 25, then he got married and he moved out with his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. But then he went to speak to his uncle Abbas. He said, "Oh my uncle, your brother Abu Talib is going through difficulty, big family, he doesn't have an income, let's help him. Let's take care of his children for him." Abbas says, "Well, I guess." They both go to meet Abu Talib. They present the idea to him. He says, "Fine, just keep Aqil with me, do whatever else you want." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes in Ali radiallahu anhu. And Abbas takes in Ja'far radiallahu anhu. So that's how Ali was very fortunate. He was 4 or 5 when he started to live with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How fortunate was he? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a Nabi of Allah at that time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 13 when Ali radiallahu anhu was born. At this time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about 35 and Ali radiallahu anhu was a young boy before him. So he's learning so much from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called to Allah and he received the message. The first man to embrace Islam was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But some views explain, remember Khadija radiallahu anhu supported Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She supported him. She says, "Never can that be any harm to you. You are a man of impeccable character. You help humanity. Those who can't earn, you earn for them. Those who are sickly, you tend to them. You earn valuable things and feed people the best of what you have. You help the needy. You tend to the poor. You join family ties. Allah is going to help you. You are Allah's Nabi." His wife gave him this. Then she takes him to a man by the name of Waraqa bin Nawfal. And he said, "Yes, you are the Nabi of Allah." That's why some historians explain that he was among the first Muslims. Waraqa bin Nawfal. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was first. Among the first was Waraqa bin Nawfal. From the females it was Khadija radiallahu anha. From the youth, there were 2 youth in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's home. Okay, there were other children also. Khadija radiallahu anha had children before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One child I like to share because people don't generally hear this. His name was Hind. You know the name Hind? He was a young boy. He grew up in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a professional in what? He was a pro in describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith wherein he described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is immaculate. He describes Allah's Nabi's entire appearance, inward and outward. How he looked, how he walked, how he smiled, how he sat, how he spoke. His beauty, his hair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this child, this youngster, saw all of this and he shared it with the ummah. You want to find this information? Very easy. You have it in your kitab. Okay? This masjid must be having Hayat al-Sahaba. Hayat al-Sahaba. The first volume, right at the beginning, there's a long hadith there. It's about 10 pages. Read it. Hind is this youngster who's narrating the hadith. He's narrating to you and I the appearance of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I give you homework. If you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you go home, find that kitab, it must be there. The Jamaat came to your door, and they knocked your door, and they encouraged you to buy that kitab. You must be having that kitab in your home. That kitab you must be having. Fada'il al-A'mal you must be having. Take out that kitab. And read the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That one of you, you will marvel, you will fall in love more with our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way this youngster describes him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in. He was a pro and rather professional in describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Ali radiallahu anhu. That same hadith, half of it is narrated by him, the second half is the narration of Ali radiallahu anhu. Because he grew up in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's seeing him morning and evening. He's seeing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing salah, he said, Khadija radiallahu anhu. And little Ali is there. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him dawat, he said, "Let me speak to my father." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You know what, Ali? Don't speak to your father. If you want to embrace, you're welcome to embrace. But don't tell Abu Talib about it now." So the boy that Ali radiallahu anhu was restless. So what he did is, he comes the next day, he says, "No, I won't tell anybody yet. When you're ready to say, you can say that I want to embrace." So he embraced Islam in the early stages. Ali radiallahu anhu. So one day, he's performing salam with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his father came to visit. His nephew, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Talib and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were very close. And there was a woman who embraced Islam already in Abu Talib's home. Khadija Radhiyallahu Anha was the first woman to embrace Islam. Who can tell me the second woman to embrace Islam? Who was she? Umayyah was very great, she was not the second. Regarding the second woman to embrace Islam, there's two views. One of them in history is a woman who is called Lubaba. Lubaba. My friend, you read the Sahabi's name, but really, so let's talk to Allah, gives you, give her the name Lubaba. Imam Sahib will give you the meaning of Lubaba, you will start crying. What a beautiful meaning it is. Ummul Fadl, Lubaba, Ummul Fadl. She was the second woman to embrace Islam. The second view is Fatima bint Asad was the second woman to embrace Islam. Fatima bint Asad. She was an old woman. She loved Rasulullah. She supported Rasulullah. Do you know when Ali Radiallahu Anhu was born, Abu Talib was out of town. So the child was born. What was his first name given to him? Lion. What is Lion in Arabic, my brothers? Asad. So Abu Talib is not there, so Fatima called him Asad. Abu Talib returns from the journey. My child. She says, I named him already. He says, what you named him? Asad. He says, no. The why she named him Asad was her father was Asad. So she wanted her father. Abu Talib refused. He named him Ali. So later in history, in the Hadith, Ali was given a powerful warrior. His shoulders was the back of a lion. He wasn't so tall like Rasulullah was. He was shorter, he had a belly, his hair was bald, but he was solid. His shoulders were huge, and he was very handsome. His beard was big, his hair was bald. The front part of his hair was bald. He had hair back, it was growing towards the back. He was powerful and strong. And later on he says, أَلَلَّذِي سَمَّتْنِي أُمِّي حَيْدًا كَلَيْتِ غَابَاتٍ كَرِيمِ الْمَنْضَرَ أُوْفِيهِمْ بِصْفَاعِ كَيْلَ الْتَنْضَرَ. Later, when he was conquering Khaybar, he's saying, he's fighting the princes of the Jews in battle, but he was in combat. That ruler was singing his poetry to encourage himself. Ali Radiallahu Anhu was a master in locals, in the Arabic language. So he renders it with such locals. He says, my mother called me lion when I was born. So you'll see what I'll do to you. Because his name was lion also. Anyway, going back to where we are now in history, Abu Talib comes there. And he sees Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Ali will make him salah, sajda, salah, very beautiful. He says, what is this? First time he's seen it. And if someone hasn't seen it, Ali will be able to make the salah. Such a beautiful thing. Every woman has to make salah. Make da'wah. Make salah. Don't feel shy to be a Muslim. Don't feel shy. Non-Muslims are looking. No. Salah is an invitation to Allah. Keep the adhan. Why are you shy? Adhan is beautiful, my friends. Adhan is beautiful. Keep the adhan. Invite to Allah. Adhan is a da'wah. Adhan is an invitation to Allah. You render takbir in adhan how many times? Four times. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Why is that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but ummat only knew the value and the virtue and the tawaf contained in rendering the adhan. They would fight to give the adhan. Everyone wants to give the adhan. Then they won't be able to come to the conclusion. Then come to the Imam. The Imam will say, no, now we have to cast lots. Give me all your names. He puts it in the cap. Where his name comes out, that person will give the adhan. That will be the only solution. If only my ummah had the Imam and the realization and the value of the virtues of the adhan. Allah's Nabi said, even if you're in the wilderness, even though you might be in the jungle or the bush, or at work, or wherever you may be. And it's the time of salah. Give adhan loudly. فَرْفَعْ صَوْتَكْ بِالنِّدَاءِ لَا يَسْمَعْ صَوْتَ الْمُؤَذِّنِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جِنٌّ وَلَا شَيْءٌ إِلَّا شَهِدَ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whether a rock, whether a tree, whether insan, whether jinnat, would hear you saying, Allahu Akbar, on the day of Qiyamah, they would have to testify. Even that rock, and that cockroach, and that animal, and that cow, will testify on the day of Qiyamah, that this person called to Allah. This person invited to Allah, because Adhan is the Dawah. what has to be? Because that one thing people are concerned is that deen must reach the foothold of the world. And one thing is that the figure of the world. That's why Allah says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. How many things? Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Four times. Tawheed and Risalat. The message of Islam, which is Tawheed and Risalat. Allah's order in the verse one by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be taken to the third one of the world. After you call humanity to Tawheed, then call humanity to Salah, to Risalat. What next? Ibadat. And the most important Ibadat is Salah. Hayya Salah will come in our life, the whole of deen will come alive. Hayya al-falah. And the whole of deen comes alive, that is success. When we come to the masjid, connect to the masjid, and we part and parcel of the work of the masjid, that is success. Then the Muslim makes the announcement, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. Why the fifth and the sixth time? Why? Because even the highest mountain mustn't be left. The fifth time is to climb the mountain and give the message. The sixth time, the lowest rabbi must be left, but the dawah of deen must be given there. Then humanity is told, La ilaha illallah. Therefore, humanity, Allah is independent, Allah is pure and perfect, whether you like it or not, whether you come or you don't. Allah doesn't need us. We need Him. La ilaha. There's no deity, there's no helper, there's no giver, there's no provider, there's no source of help and assistance besides Allah. That's Allah. So he sees Ali Nabi Allah, Salah, which is sanctity, which is religion. What do you mean? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains to me. So Abu Talib explains to his son, my nephew will only guide you to what is right, my son. Stick to him. So Ali Khadiran had the support of his father also. So he stuck to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, Ali Khadiran, as small as he was, he tried to be there. He should be there supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the beginning, in the initial stages, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give Dawah secret. First 3 years, Dawah was individual Dawah. You know what is Dawah to them? To go to a brother and talk about Allah. Do you know that? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to do that, go to a brother, invite him to Allah, talk about Allah. This is every Muslim's job, every Muslim's duty, to talk about Allah, to invite to Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 3 years secretly, the fourth year openly, because he's God. He gathered them to the mountain and he invited them. Every tribe coming into Makkah, Rasulullah used to go there. Whether it was Hajj fun? No, it was not fun. Hajj became fun much later, in the Medinan period. This is Makkah. Makkah, there was no Salah 5 times a day yet. Yes, Salah was Tahajjud. That's why Abu Talib says that for morning Salah. That was Tahajjud, because in Tahajjud you make dua for humanity, and you connect to Allah. The verses of the Quran revealed in Makkah were verses of Yaqeen, and Iman, and Jannah, and Jahannam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have a madrasa. Madrasa is very important. Send our children to the madrasa. And we must also come to the madrasa. And the masjid is also our madrasa. Which was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's madrasa? And markas, who can tell me? Which sahabi found was chosen? The haram couldn't be chosen because the dawah was still in the initial secret stages. Who can tell me the sahabi's name? You have to know this, my friends. Al-Arqam. So the madrasa was called Darul Arqam. The Sahabi donated his home. My home will be the madrasa. My home will be the madrasa. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should sit there and teach the Sahaba. Interesting is what he used to teach them. There was no zakat, there was no fasting, there was no hajj, there was no masail. He used to teach yaqeen and iman. That Allah is the basis, Allah is the doer, Allah is the giver, Allah is the... Verses of Quran used to read to them. The verses in the Makkah stages was iman and yaqeen. Iman and Yaqeen, and the stories of the Anbiya, read the Makkah Surahs. Anbiya alayhi salam's incidents are repeated in the Makkah Surahs. Ibrahim alayhi salam repeated in the Quran 69 times, I'm going to ask you. Isa alayhi salam repeated in the Quran, who can tell me? And tomorrow you can tell the Christian who you're working with, in your shop, in your dorm, in your workplace, in Bhutan. You know, obviously in Afrikaans, you know. Yeah. That Jesus is mentioned in my book 25 times. You must tell them. Mary is mentioned in my book 32 times.